Hello, lovers of liberty. This is Liberty Southwest, podcast number 53. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Today we are joined with Eric Taylor, Danny Ning, and myself, Kirk Pettis. Eric, you want to take it away?
Absolutely. How you guys doing? We had a show last week with Matt and I. It's been, I think before that had been 9 months or so. See if we can't get on a somewhat of a regular schedule going forward. So how are you guys?
Doing swell.
Hanging in there.
Aren't we all?
Absolutely.
It's been a fun break. At the same time, it's great to be back.
Yeah. Last week, we didn't necessarily have any structure, whereas in the past, we've kind of had a topic stuck to it. I'm sure probably we'll do that in the future. Before the show, I think the big thing within Liberty Circles is the fact that Rand Paul did pretty poorly in Iowa, suspended his campaign earlier today. That was it. He was kind of hoping to utilize the youth vote down there. That didn't happen. He kind of got back to his roots over the last couple of months after deviating from that. I think some people were pleased to see that he was doing that. Did you guys follow that at all? Have any opinions or anything along those lines as far as what happened down there?
I didn't pay very much attention to it at all, really.
I don't know. I just never got the same hype of Rand Paul as opposed to his father. Maybe that could be why. Yeah, same thing, Kirk. Like, I haven't really paid attention to it as much. I mean, I hear once in a while that, you know, he'd been in, you know, these the RNC debates, and, you know, he's always getting, like, clobbered by Donald Trump. That's kind of the snippets that I've heard once in a while, but definitely does not seem like as enthusiastic as Ron Paul, and I guess that could be why that I decided to just, like, yeah, I'm doing my own thing, and not been busy with jobs either, too, so... Yeah, that's me.
Well, I keep falling down into more of an anarchist mentality, so it's easy for me to ignore most of it these days and find it laughable. But as soon as I heard Rand was, you know, abandoning his father and or didn't want, you know, anything to do with pretty much Ron Paul's help in the matter, so I knew his candidacy was doomed for failure.
I think he was just doing that just so he can, you know, appeal with, like, the more moderate Republicans to try to, you know, I don't know, be more political correct and to try to establish relationships with the other folks, as opposed to, like, Ron Paul when his father's like, you know, well, we need to end the Fed and, you know, foreign policy sucks and all that. And you know, he was just polarizing for most people, I believe. And, you know, Rand Paul, I feel like he's trying to appeal with the moderates a little bit. So I don't know. I guess that could be a reason why a lot of people just don't like him as much, like myself.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to play inside the establishment. And, you know, it's kind of obvious what happens. I mean, it was not very surprising for how it has panned out. So I think there was nothing exciting about his campaign at all. There was no reason to be excited about him. And just because he's the libertarian candidate really doesn't do anything for me. I guess I'd rather see go and vote for a libertarian candidate or Libertarian Party nominee just to increase the percentage for a third party type thing, since I just feel very against the two-party system.
So who's the leading libertarian candidate right now?
Gary Johnson will be running. I don't know if I would assume he gets it, but I don't know. What I've heard is that they usually don't like to nominate the same people back to back, but I could see him running, getting a nomination pretty easily. But I haven't looked into it, so I just know he's running. I just figure it's kind of a given he will win it.
Oh, yeah, he's probably like the only nominee, so.
No, there's always a bunch of people that do it, but he's got the experience and money to fund his campaign, so it'd be hard to beat him in the nomination process without it being contrived like the other parties are right now.
Or maybe Rand Paul might run for the Libertarian seat. I doubt it. I think he's going to focus more on his Senate seat now, since he just pulled out of the presidential campaign.
Yeah, I think he needs to stay in the Senate for a while. But it really goes back to what was Ron Paul's message. It wasn't about winning. It was growing the liberty aspect in culture. And he failed to do that. He wants to just assume that there's people, liberty-minded people out there that will follow him while he'll weasel his way into the Republican establishment, which it's so blatantly obvious that it's no one cares. It's a losing battle. It's not a winning strategy.
So you feel like ever since you kind of stepped in, like the libertarian ideology kind of took a step back a little bit?
Well, let's look at Ted Cruz. People claim that Ted Cruz is fairly constitutionalist, liberty-minded, says a lot of things that libertarians find appeasing at times, but why would the Republican establishment back Cruz over Rand Paul? It's for Rand. I mean, I can see why Rand would choose to go step away from his father's footsteps, but that is it's just not going to pan out that how he wants it to.
Yeah. How about you, Eric? What are your thoughts with what happened with Rand stepping down? And are we just, you feel like we kind of stepped back a little bit with trying to grow our liberty movement? Or are you seeing like there might be some hope elsewhere?
To me, it was kind of encouraging over the last couple of months where Rand started getting back to his liberty roots. I really think that what he was trying to do was spread, really enact libertarian policy. He's done that in the Senate. If you look at any type of grayed out or scheme as far as how he's voted, he's very libertarian in how he's voted, the legislation he's introduced, et cetera. I'd argue there are just a few. There's like a liberty wing that's there. Thomas Massey, Justin Amash, Rand Paul, that are really pushing a lot of libertarian principles. And he's done a very good job. I think he's done an excellent job when you look at what he's actually introduced. He's tried to open, I think he made a lot of mistakes in his campaign. He tried to win or position himself to be more of a winning position by appealing to neoconservatives, social conservatives, et cetera, any alienated libertarian wing. And a lot of people, like what Kurt was saying, a lot of people are like, you know, just not interested. He's pandering. And, you know, a lot of people of our persuasion see that, and they don't respect it. So So he tried growing, you know, his base, influence, et cetera, by doing that. He swung, last couple months, he swung back to what I would consider to be the right message, positions, et cetera. He had a rally on Sunday at University of Iowa, the day before the caucus. Thomas Massey was there. He spoke for quite a while. Ron Paul was there. He had a lot of same talking points. He embraced the ideology that, in my opinion, he should have been embracing since the beginning. If you look at what he did in Iowa, he got about 4.5% of the popular vote. His dad got 23%. He alienated a ton of people. He should have at least, I would expect, he's a senator, done as well as his dad did in 2012. So, you know, I think he'll win his election in Kentucky. He'll continue to be a voice of liberty in the Senate. He's as good as there is within the Congress or within the House of Representatives or Senate. And he's won a statewide election, which not a lot of libertarians can claim to do. Ron Paul tried to do that in Texas. He got trounced. So he has the ability to do some good things. So hopefully this loss will be a time for reflection, refinement. The thing about Rand is he didn't like to do a lot of presidential things. He didn't like to fundraise. He didn't like to ask for money. And he was kind of, he just didn't have any energy. Like if you watch him, he's like, this guy's like a dry academic basically. So I think I had pretty high hopes that he'd do well, and he didn't. You know, maybe he's a smart guy. Maybe in the future he can, you know, go forward with some lessons learned and do better next time in whatever context he, you know, chooses to participate in. That's kind of how I viewed it.
Yeah, it's not like Ron Paul's first time was last 4 years ago.
Right.
So it is I'm sure he'll be at it again. I agree. There's definitely hope around him. It's that I just feel that people weren't used to hearing someone like Ron Paul, you know, espouse the liberty viewpoint, and they were energized from just hearing that. And it just brought people into being Republicans. And I don't think Rand Paul did that at all. And so it's hard to take people that are so used to the fear mongering and the brainwashing towards the neoconservatives mantra that they question Rand, and while the other time they just ignored Ron Paul, but Ron Paul brought in so many other people that energized them and were willing to fight for him. So
dry academic, that's a little harsh, Eric.
You think so? What does that mean? Sorry.
No.
You put that into perspective. No, that's, in the sense, that is kind of how I felt with him. But, you know, what surprises me is, you know, he had, like, at the beginning, like, before even, like, his whole presidential campaign was going on, I felt like there was, like, so many things going for him. Like, he had that, you know, 13-hour filibuster that, you know, he was, you know, getting praises from, you know, his colleagues and, you know, from the news as well. And obviously, there's, like, that NSA cell phone scandal, email spyings and IRS scandals and things like that. Just all sorts of that. Those issues were happening at the same time. And, you know, it's I'm just surprised that he didn't. I thought there was like some momentum with all back then, but it just, I was hoping that, you know, maybe he would capitalize on all these things that was happening, but it just didn't. It just didn't happen. So I don't know if it's because this year there was just too many people participating who wants to get who wants to strive for the chief commander position. I mean, obviously, you know, you have Ben Carson, you have Ted Cruz, you have Bush and Donald Trump. You think all those players being out on the floor might have impacted Rand's popularity? Maybe Donald Trump is like the, I don't know, he's kind of like the other person now. Maybe a lot of people just don't like that establishment mentality, and Donald Trump is like the other go-to guy, and maybe that's why he's so much more popular, because he's more outspoken. I mean, he is fun to watch.
Donald Trump is the perfect candidate for America today.
Why is that?
He just represents Americans. Nationalistic, smart governance. What else? And rambunctious, winner, you know, successful, whatnot. He actually makes people, I think people have, you know, for years Congress's rating has been in the tank, in the toilet. And Donald Trump, you know, says it like it is, and that's how what everyone wants government to be in America. Yet politics never is, and it's due to the two-party system and how government's structured. I think Donald Trump is the perfect candidate for America today.
We need to build that damn wall.
Well, I think it's a joke, but
yeah. I don't know.
For how I look at it, for, you know, how the changes we would like to see in government happen, I actually think Donald Trump has the best chance of actually cutting government. I think if he got in there, he'd be so fed up with how the bureaucracy is run that and people would allow him to fire people. People in government do not get fired. Nothing gets changed. And Donald Trump would actually he'd be lambasted for it, but he wouldn't care. And I actually think that he could gut a lot of government at the same time growing it. I think he's the RNC's what's his name? Roosevelt. FDR. He's the Republicans' FDR, is what I predict. And it's just hilarious to see conservatives or so-called conservatives, people worried about it and just, I don't know, it's just, I just see the attitude of everyone wanting to see government fix the problem it's created. And can it happen? I don't believe it can.
It can if you believe, Kirk.
Well, I could always go down ideas of being independent, being a king yourself, and ignoring government in the first place. Why put up with government at all? Just say no. Ignore it.
So now that Rand has dropped out of the race, who's going to be like the one who's going to really be asking like the tough questions and all that? Or is this just going to be like, hey, I'm Donald Trump, vote for me, or, you know, Jeb Bush trying to attack Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump would just clobber him back and kind of like, you know, is this going to just be a circus going forward? Is it even worth watching? it might be worth watching.
It's gonna be such a good race. It's gonna expose so many things. But I've always predicted that a Republican will win this election, and I see no better opportunity for Trump to be in there and government to be happy about it, because when the economy crashes in the future, probably during the next term, they're going to just point to capitalism from it and say, this is why we need socialism, more and more government centralization, and people will cry for it. Cry out for it. These are my predictions. But like I said earlier, I just keep going more and more outside of the two-party system and want nothing to do with government anymore. And there's two competing viewpoints in the liberty-minded crowds is, you know, getting involved in government, aka Rand Paul, or what generally happens is many libertarians just start growing to be more anarcho-capitalists in a way and forget, you know, get disenfranchised with the whole scheme of it all.
Seems to me to be the most common path in libertarianism, once you really get into it, the anarcho-capitalist path is the most frequently taken.
Yeah, and so that's what really could have hurt Rand, that people, you know, Ron Paul wakes people up, gets involved, all of a sudden they just don't really care anymore.
I know a lot of people that would be the case.
Yeah.
They got involved in politics, you know, they really didn't put a lot of time or thought into it, got involved in, you know, Ron Paul 2008, 2012, went down the anarcho/capitalistic path and have no desire to be involved in politics anymore. They want to, you know, kind of create a better condition or environment through voluntary cooperation rather than worrying about who wins X, Y, or Z election. I think that's probably what you're talking about, right, Kurt?
Yes. The way I look at voting these days is, well, I'm going to go vote my person in because they're going to tell my neighbors what they can and cannot do, and that's the right candidate. Or what you always hear is, oh, my God, who are you going to vote for? Someone who's going to fix this mess we're in? And it's force. Government's force. And how can you resolve that without going back to, yeah, voluntarism, voluntary cooperation amongst people that, you know, of the non-aggression, people that agree to non-aggression, and we'll go through there. You don't need government to be involved at all. I believe that the highest form of governance that can be attained is anarchy. And that should be constantly striven for.
That's probably something you probably wouldn't have said 4 years ago, right?
Oh, not in the least bit.
And that's probably, I mean, you could credit going down the libertarian path with bringing you to that point, I would imagine.
I'd say, yeah, five years ago, I didn't even know what a libertarian was. People would say, oh, you sound libertarian. That's what it is. And now it's, but, you know, so where can you go with any of those viewpoints? I just feel it's completely voluntary in yourself, and that's, we can only consent to what the government is. Actually, what I truly believe is that what brings people to the go capitalist side is that when you really look at it, government is not the government that we were taught in schools. It's a complete shell grown around what is supposedly the government itself. An analogy that you always hear is that, say, you're on a ship and you know, the captains of the crew is what the government is, and one night you wake up and they're all new crew with the same titles and everything, but it's a completely different system, and they call themselves the same, but it's a completely foreign alien system that has taken over, and people consent to it. There's no legal basis behind it, but it is what it is. People consent to it. Life's great. My standard of living, people feel, is totally fine. And then they just, when problems occur, it's always finger pointing. And we need government to do this and this and this. And it just snowballs from there.
So it seems like you're leaning towards, when you say you're leaning towards anarchy, capitalism, you mean just like absolutely no government? Or do you believe in some limited government control, or just like absolutely no government control?
There's always some form of control. If you want to label it government or whatnot, there's always some form of control. But here's my point. I'm fine with people how it is these days, but why do you need to force your neighbors to be involved in it at the same time? Why can't you just be removed from the system and live amongst each other? If people want to be a part of Social Security and all the other programs, government institutes that makes people reliant on government, so be it. I'm totally fine with it, but why put a gun to my head to pay for it?
No, I agree. I mean, if people want a government-sponsored Social Security program or healthcare, whatever, that's fine. But yeah, no, I agree. It's like, why are you forcing us to partake in these programs? I mean, I don't need it.
I just want to be a visitor. I'm a tourist. Yet I live here constantly, but just consider me a tourist. That's all I want. When you come in contact with tourists, would you blame them for not being a part of the system and force them to be a part of your governance? No, you allow them to be a visitor, be a consumer of our economy, have fun. Just don't go around there and causing trouble. People are fine with that, but once you're a so-called citizen, a resident, then, all right, now you got to pay for it all. It's, if this person's elected, they can enact these policies over you. It makes no sense to me.
Hey, citizen.
Hey, citizen.
But, well, that's kind of like reality, too. I mean, it's like, well, here's this little shiny ticket, whatever. Here, come join us. And then you join and it's like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? It's not a shiny ticket. It's just a plastic wrapper. I don't know. It just kind of reminds me of, like, public accounting. So how, like, all these, like, large accounting firms are trying to, like, pamper these new graduates, like especially these interns, how they're, you know, getting paid more than even some of the regular associates and going to all these fascinating hotels and, you know, getting drunk with all these bars and stuff like that and taking them into Disney World. And then all of a sudden, once they're hired into these firms, it's like they don't get any of that stuff. They go into like a hotel when there's probably like roaches and all that. So it's like... I mean, it's just like reality right there. I don't know. Maybe we just got off topic a little bit. So where are we now?
Might be a little jaded.
Hey, you sound bitter, Danny.
I need a drink. It's only Wednesday.
You just got to be a constant intern.
Yeah, be an intern for life.
Always be wined and dined. That's the moral of the story, right? Don't take the gig.
Well, I mean, are any of you guys going to, even though there's really nothing too exciting with this election coming up, are you guys still going to at least exercise your 15th Amendment to pick a vote? Or are you guys going to just, like, sit out, I'm done with this, I'm going to just watch, sit back, relax, watch Donald Trump make fun of Jeb? Because I like doing that, but I'm still debating whether or not I want to get out to vote and exercise my right.
Well, let's not even talk about voting. Are you going to caucus? That's a month and a half away.
I don't have much of a desire to be honest with you.
No. No desire.
How often do you guys get phone calls?
I've had a few. There is only one per. I was only interested in caucusing for Rand Paul. That's it.
Well, I know, but don't you get phone calls from people wanting you to support them and, you know, caucus for them and have their support or give them your support that they can count on?
Not really.
I've just been getting a lot of calls for that stuff again. Yeah.
Not really.
Really? For me, I haven't really gotten much calls at all. I've probably gotten two calls, and surprisingly, got one for, like, Hillary Clinton and another for, like, Ted Cruz. So it's, like, I'm surprised, like Democrats are reaching out to me.
Hey, maybe you've been profiled.
The RNC is giving out the list.
The RNC's giving the list to the DNC. This guy's liberal.
Oh yeah, I feel bad because they always call me wanting me to get involved, and I'll always come up with an excuse, which I'm always busy. There's no reason for me to go out and make time for it. If I had the desire, I would make the time for it. But there is nothing to be excited about. You see the candidates that are up there. Rubio, are you kidding me? Cruz, are you kidding me? Trump? Yet,
Bernie?
Yet Trump,
you're not feeling the burn?
I just love Trump, though. It's such a mockery of the system. It's just, I love it. I'm not a supporter of his stances, or I am a supporter of his tax, you know, going to a more simplified tax plan, which I think would make the biggest difference.
I thought you said texts.
Texts,
like,
no.
Like Twitter, like
his tax system.
Supporter
proposed
of his
tax.
Yeah.
Way more of a, still kind of a progressive tax, but as close to a flat tax as possible. Without being a flat tax, I would say. But I always say, if we ever, what I was talking about earlier about allowing people to opt out of the system, the only way that would be possible without your neighbors being pissed at you for not paying your fair share is to having a straight sales tax. No income tax, no other tax, just specific consumption tax. It's the fairest and the most sensible tax plan that I can ever ponder.
Do you know of any country that does that?
I don't think so.
Just has flat sales tax and that's it. Because to me, that makes the most sense too, but I don't know of any country that's actually implemented that before.
I think that is, I don't know. When you go to a lot of third world countries, I don't think you usually pay a tax on goods you buy. And these people usually aren't getting taxed either. I think it's more of a, more of a, you know, businesses and business relationship with government that ends up paying most of the taxes, but I could be wrong.
Danny, are you aware of any flat tax that's ever been successfully implemented?
I don't know. You talking about flat tax? I mean,
yeah, just
I don't know. Flat. Isn't Russia using somewhat of a flat tax system?
I don't know.
Yeah, I need to look into that though. So, yeah, no, that's kind of interesting. I know that there's definitely not a lot of countries that uses flat tax right now. I believe Russia is. That's probably like the largest country that's doing it, but you can argue whether or not it's successful or not. So I don't know. Their government is pretty corrupt as it is, but I don't know.
Estonia, the Baltic countries have had flat taxes.
Flat taxes are big in the USSR.
Russia was a 13% flat tax in 2003, which later increased to 15% in 2007. You're right, Danny.
Danny, good job.
All right.
Russian
I know
Times,
about taxes.
Russia in general, they have a couple of good
Russian
things.
Taxes.
Russia Times TV network and then the flat tax, two good things that come from Russia.
Yeah. And oil.
Stuff, maybe not so much, but
cheap oil.
They've got no choice.
And mail order Russian brides can't forget about those. I always wonder. I swear to God, there's like one of my old colleagues. His wife must be from Russia.
Isn't that Trump's wife?
And mail ordered. What's
didn't
that?
Trump do the same thing? Didn't Trump do the same thing?
Yeah, it's probably. Is she from Russia? I don't know.
I think she's from Ukraine. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Isn't Ukraine owned by Russia now?
It's up for debate. Certain portions of the country, maybe.
So it's up to debate that she's a male Russian ordered bride then.
Depending on where. In Ukraine,
you have we might potentially have a male ordered Russian bride as the first lady.
That's making America great again, right there.
Yeah, hey, we're promoting diversity,
but we got to make sure that a flat tax is not a sales tax, it's still an income tax. Which,
you're referencing income flat rather than sales. Because that's a VAT. That's what you're talking about, right? Once you get sales, flat sales, it turns into a VAT. So it gets embedded all over the place.
No, I don't know what you mean. Well, I'm just saying
VAT,
that.
When I say
flat,
VAT,
like Russia has a flat tax, which is still personal income. It's not just the sales tax. Mm-hmm. Which I think just get away with all taxes besides a consumption tax. I don't even like calling a sales tax, just consumption.
Yeah.
Which I would think if it was truly defined and argued in a fair manner, it'd be hard to argue against.
I think it would be easy to argue against. You know why? Because most people don't pay a tax.
The what?
Most people don't pay taxes. Federal tax. So you're talking about...
Oh, they still do.
I think it's like 49% of people actually pay into the federal government. So you're talking about 100% doing that.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people who that might not be super popular with. Like, a lot of people who aren't doing it now.
Yeah, I still think you could argue against it. Because if people were actually appreciative of, you know, the government, then they would want to pay for it. And that
most
paying
people who are really appreciative
for what you purchase pays for your governance. There's just no fair system.
No one's going to be appreciative of paying taxes to the government directly.
Yeah, I think that's...
Well, that's why it's not a direct... You're not sending it to the government anyways, though. You'd pay for it when you purchase items. So, because it would destroy all accountants' jobs, but then it would siphon them to more of a cash management of sales.
See, I don't know if I can support that since I'm an accountant.
Exactly.
You've got to keep your job, Danny.
There's a lot of accountants out there.
We need a lot of tax regulation, a lot of code, a lot of compliance. Got to keep people working.
It makes me smarter.
That's why the tax system is what it is. It creates jobs, and it is a form of control that is directly what government wants. It's what they both want. It's a double-edged sword. It comes with the full force of government, and to be able to manipulate things as will. And then at the same time, it creates jobs in the system that makes it dependent.
That is true. Eric, do you feel like you're working for the government?
Like right now, like I have a government job?
Yeah. Even though you do like network, you're doing network engineer, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel like, even though you're not really working for the government per se, mm-hmm. but do you feel like you got your job because, you know, we need IT security and blah, 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 because the law requires it, and because we made the law that requires IT security, make sure that our information is safe, especially where your company is at. Do you feel like, you know, you're employed by the government, so you need to, like, thank the government?
For my specific job, no. I certainly, I mean, there is a lot of compliance and regulation in other positions. But as far as I am concerned, that's not really the case. So I personally engineer, design, implement various network technologies, and it's somewhat agnostic as far as government regulations concerned, but more and more, especially where I work, you guys work kind of the industry that I work in, there's more and more compliance and individuals who are required to be employed to comply in different areas to say, yeah, this is what we're doing here, here, and here. But I've never really been in a position where I've thought, well, if there wasn't government regulation in place, I wouldn't currently do what I'm doing. To me, it's not too impactful. I certainly could maybe do a lateral move over something else in the industry, and I could say, yeah, it's super impactful. But to answer your question directly for me, no.
But you don't want to do that.
Well, maybe I can make more money, and the government's good, right?
That is true. My job is highly impactful because of the government. I do SOX testing all day. So that's pretty heavily governmental.
There's some irony there, right? You're very critical of the fact, you know, of a policy that you directly derive income from. Wouldn't you say?
Yep. Yes, sir. I should be thankful for the government. I should really jump to be a Democrat now.
You need to feel the burn, because with Bernie,
I need
Sanders,
to feel the burn.
With Bernie Sanders, you can bring
your tax.
You could bring your total tax rate up from about 55% to 80% and help, you know, help everyone out a great deal.
You know, the thing I like about Bernie Sanders is, like, at least he's, like, straight up honest about how communist he is.
Yeah.
That's what I like about him.
He's just honest.
Like, yeah, he's honest.
I'm going to tax tax the heck out of everybody.
Not like the other candidate who's like always like having all these like these secrets and scams and going on. You don't even know what's going on. So Bernie, he's like, yeah, you're screwed if you vote for me. But hey, at least I'm honest about it. That makes me wanting to vote for him somewhere.
All this gives me such hope for Liberty. Is that Bernie is the front runner and Donald Trump is the front runner. Both are totally opposite. Establishment parties do not want either candidate.
Yeah.
And it just shows the frustration of people that the two-party system does not achieve what they desire. And they're just it's the water's been chum for so long. People are just hungry for grasping onto whatever the problems, but because of the so-called problems around the world and in our own country here. But I find it all just laughable.
It is funny. And Matt and I were talking about this last week. Basically we have on the right and left Trump. I mean, you can argue that Trump or Rubio is now the establishment candidate. I would argue that he's going to win the Republican nomination. If I were to bet right now, I'd say Rubio is going to be the Republican candidate for president after June. And then, you know, Cruz is kind of your quote-unquote constitutional conservative, but I'd say he's probably a big military government guy as well. Then you have Sanders and Clinton, who are both very much in the side of increasing government debt, taxation, et cetera. And I think people, you know, in politics so many times people get the politicians they deserve or they want. And that's current, you know, it's current sentiment. And I thought a while ago that maybe this is, you know, a libertarian moment. People are like, look at it and say, this is a good time to shrink government. We've got excessive military operations, excessive debts, you know, monetization of the debt, inflation, you know, increase of the money supply. And I don't see a lot of people understanding that. And I think that's the limiting factor against liberty in general.
If Rubio is the nominee, it'll just blow my mind. The guy is the biggest warmonger I've ever seen in my life.
I'll give you like 2-1 odds, whatever you want to bet, that Rubio will end up being the nominee.
A silver dollar, it's on.
Silver dollar. Yeah. It's true. I mean, if you look at it, a lot of people of our persuasion, like, how could you ever vote for somebody like Rubio? But what don't you like about Rubio, Kirk? There's got to be a few things.
Oh, the guy, he bugs me so bad. Bugs me as much as Trump. Just to listen to him, it's like I don't know what's worse, listening to them two or else Hillary Clinton. They're just it's such pandering, and I don't see the conviction, and yet they portray it as such, and it's just hilarious. It's a mockery. All they want is the power. It's human instinct. Everyone just thinks they'll make the right decisions if they get in the seat of the presidency. You know, smart government at its finest. And I just don't see the effect. How bad do we think Obama is going to ruin the country? It's the bureaucracy that Obama just has encouraged, the bureaucracy, but it's the system that just keeps chugging along. And that's why I say Donald Trump is probably would be the surprise of a lifetime and end up gutting a lot of needless government. But at the same time, he's going to grow government and try and fine tune it if possible, or just get fed up and be disgusted. And that's my other scenario, is that he'd get in there and be so disgusted he'd want to quit and say this is all just a joke. But you can't do it. You get your advisors in there and say, you do this, you're going to affect this, and this. They all get swayed away from anything they want to do. It can't be done. The choices of gutting things has vast ramifications that are easily pinpointed without the proper knowledge of a free market and allowing things to settle down to grow back up. And I guess, where else am I going with this? I don't know.
Go on.
This is a scam.
Well said.
The new soundboard.
New soundboard.
The new NA soundboard.
Yeah, no.
You're saying yeah, while you're saying no.
Yeah, no.
Speaking of other podcasts.
Yes.
You guys find anything new out there exciting?
Well, you know, I listen to No Agenda. Actually, I've been listening more lately. I know you have a few, don't you? What are some newer ones that you've been?
I haven't missed No Agenda for over a year.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years.
What are some other ones that you've been listening to?
I listen to, from No Agenda Stream, I found Agenda 31, which is one of my favorites. Have you guys ever heard of that?
I have not. I don't think Danny has.
What happened?
No.
Have you heard of it? No.
You haven't either, Eric?
What's that?
You haven't heard of it either?
No.
Well, Todd McGreevy and who's the other guy? Shoot. Anyways, it's all about how they push people to be sovereign, or not sovereign, but state citizens instead of a U.S. citizen. And that it goes into the whole... I've heard things exactly a different way, and they have a different aspect, and I like how they go about it. Of becoming free and independent in this forceful world we live in, but it is you really have to listen to it to get a grasp of it. But
so is this,
it's really claiming your own jurisdiction back and showing the fallacy of that each state is really an arm of the federal government today. There is no states; the state governments are all just a corporation inside the federal corporation. And there's ways to get around it. And that's why I say we all allow ourselves to be a part of this federal plantation. There's ways to get around it.
So why is it called Agenda 31 versus 21? So this is agenda31.org.
It's a playoff Agenda 21, but okay. It's saying that there's approximately 3,100 counties in America. And they say that, you know, if we can just get one person in each county to go out and do what they do, that it would greatly reshape America in a liberty mindset.
And
it's another way of liberty activism.
You're the one person in Carver?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. But it's stuff that I just find fascinating and love to listen to. But then my other favorite podcast is the Higher Side Chats.
Yeah.
There's some great episodes in that. But then lately, I've been listening to Chris Ann Hall show. Have you heard of her?
No.
Big constitutionalist. She's a pretty phenomenal speaker.
Chris Ann Hall?
Chris Ann, yeah, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E.
Okay. That's at chrisannhall.com.
Yeah. Yep. I like her and I don't at the same time. She's got a lot of good things, and she does a daily podcast, about a half hour each day, and it's pretty good.
I see on the website, a little picture of probably an eight-year-old kid reading a book that's, what does it say? Sovereign Duty. That sounds right up your right. Up
sounds
your
like right up my alley.
yes, it does. Because yeah. There was.
Yeah, but she argues strictly inside the federal government, so she does not try to get outside of it. She wants change from the
And how do you think? That's probably something you can't.
She argues that the Constitution's still valid inside the federal government, and people like Agenda 31 argue that the federal government is what it is, and people allow it to be, and that's fine. But they have no jurisdiction if you throw off your chains that they snooker you into having. But that's getting out of Social Security, which people would be. That sounds shocking to people.
It's tough to do.
And
I mean,
getting
rid
of your driver's license.
When you start doing that, like when people completely opt out, you go to jail, and you stay in jail.
No.
Well, Peter Schiff's father, Erwin Schiff, spent the last 10 plus years of his life in jail because of doing things like that.
Yes, but these methods have been perfected. If you go into it, I think we could save this for another show, but
okay, that's fine.
It's the manner about how you go into it. I mean, once you enter a court of law and you state yourself as a U.S. citizen, you're screwed. You will not have you're in their jurisdiction, so you can't allow it to ever get to that point. There's methods of doing so. But it takes a lot of work, a lot of self-knowledge, and goes back to what Thomas Jefferson always talked about, that, the highest form of, I can't remember the exact quote, but it means about to be truly free, you need to research law and find out and, how and why you are king and how no one has rights over you or authority over you. Without your consent, so those are pretty good. I always listen to Tom Woods too, and what's his name? Jason Templeton, or no? What's his name? I can't remember now. I think it's Jason Templeton. Have you heard of him before?
I haven't.
He's pretty good. He's strictly libertarian.
I am Googling him and I see a State Farm insurance agent. But I don't think that's probably who he is.
It's Jason Stapleton.
Okay. Oh,
my bad. Stapleton.
That might be easier. There you go. So looking at his... What do you have to say about this?
He's pretty good. Like today was a lot about... Rand dropping out as well.
What he says right here. I'm interested.
I have tried to share with you the deep problems within the Rand campaign, while at the same time doing my best not to soil your opinion about him. And it's a very fine line. I have an obligation to tell you what I am seeing.
Sounds like he's not a huge fan of what happened
in the political sphere, while at the same time.
What happened with Rand in his campaign?
I don't want to appear to be bashing the one libertarian candidate or liberty-minded candidate.
He pretty much said exactly what I was thinking.
Right, so what I chose to do, the tactic,
which is getting too far away from the message,
point out when and where Rand was having serious messaging problems,
and I think that's
kind of tongue-in-cheek
common criticism.
He talked a lot about what you said too about he started to get back to the message, but it was a little too late. And then he missed a lot of opportunities. But he's a little full. The only problem I have with Jason Stapleton is he reminds me too much of Glenn Beck.
I didn't want to go as far,
but he's way far head and shoulders better than Glenn Beck, in my opinion.
Look as though I was acting in opposition to a liberty.
I don't think he's.
I'm going to get a bunch of feedback on that, and more importantly, is I don't want to sour
selling people down the road like Glenn Beck does. Like Glenn Beck says, "Oh yeah, I'm the new leader of the libertarian movement."
Whether or not this guy has got legs, whether he's the guy or not,
vote Marco Rubio.
But now the truth is out. There's no hiding it anymore, and so I'm
Oh, so yeah. I don't think Jason Stapleton. Yeah, he rags on. He hates Donald Trump, and Ted Cruz, and Ricky Rubio. But he really despises Donald Trump, which is funny. And then I listened to what's it called again? Free Domain Radio. Stefan Molyneux. That's gotten really good. Surprisingly, Stefan really backs Donald Trump. It's pretty funny.
Is surprising.
It is. It's very surprising.
Yeah, no, I've even heard from you. It sounds like you think he's probably the best of the lot, right? Which is
To me, I think he's got the most potential to. Yep.
And he's a fascist.
Actually, do and things, but I'm not going to go vote for the guy. Yep. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
But I think that. If I wanted to take part of it, I think that he really represents what America is today, and I think he's going to run away with it. No doubt about it.
And
unless
that,
he gets Ron Paul'd.
He could.
He got Ron Paul'd in Iowa.
He did.
Just like Bernie got Clinton.
He was complaining about the fact that there were some antics, and there are always antics at play. In Iowa, when you're talking caucuses.
Oh, yeah.
Sanders was complaining about that as well. But
yeah, well, I saw a headline right away that said like 90 districts' votes were missing and they will never be found. In the Democrat Party, it's caucuses, but I just find it so hilarious that they start in Iowa. A state that if you can be a Republican, but you're demanding state subsidies, farming subsidies, or federal farming subsidies. So right off the bat, it just sends every candidate and it puts them in a corner where it forces them to either make a stand against subsidies, which those candidates never really will be the establishment picks.
Theater.
And yes, it's all theater.
With that, Kirk, I'm gonna wrap it up and I will guide it out.
I don't know. I feel like we're missing some Danny all of a sudden. It's I've never heard Danny speak so much in my life.
Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
It's gotta have to you gotta wait for the next podcast.
He's done.
You got to make him work 12 hours in a day, and then he's ready to talk.
Danny's had his quota of 10 minutes.
Oh, no, it's been fun. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's been.
Hopefully we'll get the ball rolling again, get a little structure back, little plans of action, be a little more... A little more coherent and systemized.
But that's a good point, Kirk. We should probably... Danny, do you have some parting words?
I'm just ready to go to bed.
All right.
Just speaking my mind.
Just letting it out.
Let it go.
Don't even say that phrase, damn it. Just brings back Frozen. Gotta love nieces and nephews.
Yes, indeed. All right, Kirk.
All right, well, this has been Liberty Southwest podcast number 53. So, I'm glad you were here with us tonight, and hopefully we will have your attention next time around. Hopefully it's next week. Until then, we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Adios, mofo.